Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
It's time for a spiritual awakening. There's not just one religion, there are thousands. After years of being concerned that too few voices, too few points of view were getting heard when it comes to spiritual paths and world religions, that the radio airwaves were not reflecting the diversity that really exists, I started producing my own programs, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, and books, bringing through the airwaves the gentle voices of saints, the wisdom of masters or mystics, world scriptures, sacred texts, the great spiritual classics of the East and the West. My name is James Bean. Welcome to Spiritual Awakening on HealthyLife.net. It's great being with you again this week on HealthyLife.net. During the next segment of the program, I'll get into a new series exploring Hinduism and the great spiritual classics of the subcontinent of India. But I thought I would begin the program this week by sharing with you a reading about Hildegard of Bingen, the famous medieval German mystic. Perhaps you've seen her mystical art, her mandalas, or perhaps you've heard some chant composed by her angelic otherworldly chant CDs. There are many CDs sharing her music, her musical compositions with the world these days. The following is a reading from the book Shamanic Christianity, A Direct Experience of Mystical Communion, published by Destiny Books of Vermont. Hildegard and the Vibration of the Soul. Hildegard once woke up in the middle of the night to the sound of a single vibrating note. She did not know the source of this vibration, but assumed it was some invisible singer. When she stopped the sleuthing activity of her rational mind and fully attended to the sound, her whole body began moving in sync with the sound's vibrations. As her body rocked back and forth with the movement of the sound, she began having visions of mystical illumination. An inner voice told her to close her eyes so she could see with newly washed eyes. Doing this, she found sight with her eyes closed. What she saw did not look like the typical outer world, but was every bit as real as what others see with their eyes open. The inner world had depth and texture and color and definition. It was illuminated by an inner eye that could not only see, but also could trace the image of any inner vision. She was shown how to move her arm so that it was guided by her inner eye. In this way, she learned to draw. This drawing was an inner eye tracing an inner image, causing a corresponding movement of a pencil or brush in her hand. She believed the experience to be so unusual that it would be impossible for anyone to understand what she was talking about. For years, she practiced making divine illustrations in this mystical way. Her inner world revealed many designs, images, and forms that she simply traced onto paper, guided by her inner eye. One day, there were no images. All that was presented was a sound. What was strange was that she could somehow feel the shape of the sound and produce an image of it. Over the years, she was able to make many sketches of these holy sounds. After she had created an extensive collection of these inner drawings of sight and sound, she had a vision of her inner blue man turning into a blue body of water. The water began to fill her whole inner body. When she was completely filled, she felt she had become the blue man. At that moment, the inner water began to boil. She did not experience any pain, but was aware of an inner transformation. The water boiled, turned to steam, and then broke into a burning flame. The whole of her inner being became a flame of illumination. It cleansed every thought, feeling, perception, and experience she had ever had in her life. The fire burned her mystical insides into absolute nothingness. When the fire stopped, she looked with her eyes inside and saw the eye of God, who was the source of the flame, the light, and the great nothingness. A reading from the book Shamanic Christianity, The Direct Experience of Mystical Communion, about Hildegard of Bingen and the vibration of the soul. Shamanic Christianity is a new book published by Destiny Books of Vermont. The Yoga of Love, Becoming the Lover of the Beloved. Bhakti Yoga, according to the Dictionary of Mysticism, is the yoga of love, the quest of union with the divine spirit through Bhakti Marga, the path of love and devotion. Bhakti is a Sanskrit word for love and devotion. And love is the quintessential truth of all religion, spirituality, and mysticism. In the New Testament, St. Paul said that love is the most excellent way. The Bhagavad Gita and the other world scriptures say the same thing. The mystic lovers of history have taught that God is an infinite ocean of love, and that each soul is a drop from that ocean. By approaching spiritual practice, prayer, the singing of hymns, or meditation, with an attitude of love and devotion, prem and bhakti to use the Indian terms, we elevate our consciousness. The practice of love brings us into harmony with the Supreme Being, our own true nature, and with everyone else. It says in the Upanishads, "Even as the sun shines and fills all space with light, so shines the Lord of Love and fills the hearts of all created beings." Kabir once said, "When you meet the Satguru, he will awaken your heart. He will tell you the secret of love and detachment." The 19th century master Shiv Dayal Singh, also known as Swamiji Maharaj, described the highest heaven as an infinite reservoir of love, and the way to reach there is also by love. The following is from the Sarbachan Radhaswami poetry of Swamiji Maharaj. Says Swamiji, "Such is the peculiar efficacy of the path of love and devotion that if you adopt it, it will transport you to the reservoir of ambrosia. In the source or fountain, Radhaswami Dham, the eighth heaven, there is absolutely no trace of maya or illusion. There it is all love and love alone. It is an immense reservoir of love, having no beginning and no end." Bhakti is the religion of love. It is heart-centered, focused on the cultivation of love between the soul and oversoul, between lover and beloved. India's Nirguna Bhakti saints are madly in love with God. Their relationship with the Supreme Being is that of divine romance. The 16th century mystic Mirabai once said, "To the Lord's abode I will go, for he alone is my true love. I'll gaze upon his charming face and ever remain enthralled. In the calm of the night I will arise and go to him and return at dawn." Practices of love and devotion. According to Tulsi Das, there are several modes of bhakti practice. One major practice is called satsang, the society of the saints. Satsang is a term that means association with eternal truth or God, and is to some extent comparable to words like synagogue, church, or temple, but not in any institutionalized sense. The saying of Christ in the New Testament provides a good definition of satsang. Where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in their midst. When devotees of a saint sit together for worship or meditation, the masters teach that there is a great spiritual energy present, a stronger manifestation of the divine presence, and a kind of communion of saints, both past and present. Satsang is also an experience of spiritual community, an opportunity to be uplifted by the collective energy of our brothers and sisters on the path. For we are influenced by the company we keep. Devotees make this a time and place for spiritual remembrance, and this encouragement helps to keep us on the path. Mirabai once said, "In minutes, satsang will lead to jiva mukti, the liberation of the soul." The format of an Indian satsang, a Hindu satsang, can include a spiritual discourse, instruction on putting the path into practice, readings from the writings of various mystics or scriptures, the reciting or singing of banis, bhajans, or kirtans, hymns of worship, as well as silent meditation. It's considered to be the greatest of all blessings if a living teacher conducts the satsang in person, better than reading his writings, having the master deliver the satsang in person. The effect of satsang is divine remembrance. Thus, with such a spiritual boost, encouragement, and support for the spiritual journey, those who go to satsang are much more likely to stay on the path and continue to put effort into their own daily spiritual practice of meditation at home. Thus will the life of the bhakta, the lover, the devotee, the disciple, the initiate, become more and more God-intoxicated by imbibing the spiritual wine, the nectar of divine love. Repeating a name or sacred names of God with love and devotion, called in the East Manas Japa, Simran or Zikr, is one of the key spiritual exercises used to cultivate love for the Supreme Being and to invoke the positive power in our daily lives, making it possible to live a life of love. This is usually done mentally, is a mental repetition or chant of a sacred name of God done during meditation, as well as this practice is done during available moments throughout the day and night as a way to remember God all of the time. Says Tukarama, the famous saint of Maharashtra district, India, "Such is God's name that it heals the disease of the world. Whoever repeats the sacred name while engaged in earthly duties remains ever in a blissful state of divine communion. One absorbed in Vitthala's name, O Tuka, has truly attained liberation while living." Vitthala is one of Tukaram's most favorite names of God. Vithoba is another one. This spiritual exercise of repeating God's name helps to uplift our day, to bring some of the heaven and bliss of meditation into our down-to-earth daily experience. It is a way to remember in a world of forgetfulness, to remain centered in a world of distraction, to remain awake in a world of spiritual slumber, to abide in truth no longer dominated by the forces of illusion. Be who you really are, wherever you go. The great poet mystic Kabir has been called Kabir, the weaver of God's name, because his job was weaving. He sat at the loom all day. And as he operated the loom, he would repeat his sacred word, Ram, 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 Ram. So he had an ideal job. His mind was free to repeat his sacred word as his hands were operating the loom. Not everyone has that luxury, but whenever there is a break, whenever there is an opportunity to repeat our sacred word, it's a wonderful, very beautiful, and powerful practice. This spiritual exercise of repeating God's name helps to uplift our day, to invoke the positive power, to bring some of the heaven and bliss of meditation into our down-to-earth daily experience, and as a way to remember in a world of forgetfulness, to remain awake in a world of spiritual slumber, to remain centered in a world of distractions, to abide in truth, no longer dominated by outside forces. It helps us to be who we really are, wherever we go, whatever we do. The Sufis, the mystics of Islam, use the term zikr to describe the concept of repeating a sacred word as a way to remember God. The term zikr means remembrance. In India, some use the term simran. It has the equivalent meaning of zikr. It means remembrance. Many traditions, East and West, have this concept of a one-word prayer. The answer to that prayer is God Himself. It's a way to make life itself into a prayer, to make life sacred, to bring some of that energy of meditation into the workaday world of action. It's a way to recenter, to refocus, anytime, anywhere. In the book Pilgrim's Progress, reflecting teachings of Eastern Orthodoxy, a phrase is used as the mantra, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, be merciful, and that's known as the Jesus Prayer. An anonymous monk wrote a spiritual classic in England a few centuries back called The Cloud of Unknowing. In that tradition, it is suggested that one use a one-syllable word, that short and sweet is best, a short word of one syllable like God or love. No matter where you go, east or west, in the Gnostic tradition of the Middle East, in India, everywhere, there is this concept of spiritualizing life by having a sacred word and repeating that name, coming back to that name, refocusing. Whenever we're stressing out or off balance in some way, we can go to our sacred word and refocus again. My name is James Bean. The name of the program is Spiritual Awakening, heard every week at this time here on HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, www.spiritualawakeningradio.com, for many interesting resources online, links, an archive of radio shows, and lots more. More after the break here on HealthyLife.net.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. vegan, make peace. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
Vistaprint. I'm sure you've heard the name. Over 17 million small businesses and consumers have used Vistaprint for printed products ranging from business cards and brochures to invitations and thank you cards. Why? Because Vistaprint has the lowest price guarantee and you can design your products with templates or upload your design. And they have free products. 3-day rush service and satisfaction is always guaranteed. Try Vistaprint. Just go to the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the Vistaprint logo.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening on HealthyLife.net. I want to share more about using sacred names, sacred mantras, to help transform life, to make life more spiritual. A spiritual exercise that anyone can use to refocus, recenter, anytime they desire. I want to share with you one example of a sacred word, the sacred word Radhaswami, used by some in India. Radhaswami literally means soul lord or lord of the soul, and it's a kind of verbal yin-yang. The word Radha is feminine in gender and means soul. Radha is feminine. Swami is masculine and means lord. So it is a yin-yang, male-female energy all in one. Radhaswami, Radhaswami. The following is from a book called Discourses by Sri Sri Mentu Maharaj, a kind of God-channeled book that reminds me of A Course in Miracles, or Conversations with God, in an Indian sort of way. Travel with me, with my spirit, with my radiation. Receive my radiation. Then you can enjoy every radiation with right understanding and without being submerged and drowned in the current of attraction and repulsion, some call Maya or illusion. Always carry my reflection. My aura or reflection is the sum total energy and my spirit of the universe. I am all strength and courage. I am all love and mercy. I am the potential of all talents. I am the source of all riches. I am the light of all wisdom. I am that truth of all truths. All exist in me as they are part of me, and I exist in all of them. They are nothing but me. You will see that I am vibrating everywhere, not only as light waves, but also as sound waves. As the creative force, as the procreative force, as the force of all expansion. I am the creative force, Ra. I am the expanding force, Da. I come back with all vibrations, So. I become again one with you all, and you feel one also with me, as me, Radhaswami. Radhaswami, chant this name, Radhaswami. This is me in sound form. Enjoy me in sound form as the magnetic field of love. Radha Swami, Radha Swami, Radha Swami. A beautiful ending there. Enjoy me as the magnetic field of love. Feel the magnetic field of love as you repeat the sacred name Radha Swami. It is quite true that whatever a sacred word means to us, that is what we get. That is what we invoke. If a mantra is a dry, boring repetition, for us it will be that. If repeating a sacred word is calling out to our beloved, is a magnetic field of love, to us it shall be that. Whatever our intent is, that is what we invoke, and that is what we receive, be it a dry magic mantra or something more magnetic and loving and awe-inspiring. Most of the great saints and mystics of history have also been poets or composers of hymns, psalms, odes, banis, bhajans, mystic songs of love and devotion. Closely related to the chanting of divine names, mantra, simran, or zikr, is the practice of reciting or singing kirtans, shabds, or banis, hymns, basically. India's saints of love and devotion for thousands of years now have composed their own devotional hymns and poems. India's mystics have left behind an immense treasure of devotional literature. If Westerners aren't able to sing these hymns in their original languages, reading translations of them in itself is a very beautiful spiritual exercise of great benefit. For these sacred words carry a loving spiritual charge that helps to keep one mindful of the spiritual path, is a great source of inspiration, as well as it helps to prepare one for daily meditation practice. Babuji Maharaj of Agra used to advise his followers to recite several hymns each day. It's a kind of sound healing practice, prescribing certain hymns of Swamiji Maharaj and Rai Salagram, his master, to be chanted in the morning, before meals, and before going to bed at night. To be sure, it is indeed extremely helpful to read a couple of hymns or mystic poems each day. Be it Rumi, Hafez, Mirabai, Kabir, or the mystic poetry of any number of Indian saints or Sufis of the East, these words of light and love will help open you up, will put you in the right mood for meditation. I have prepared a list of recommended reading, a list of poet mystics from India, as well as links to some of this mystic poetry of the saints of India online. If you'd like to receive this, email me at this address, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. And you can contact me via my website, which is at www.spiritualawakeningradio.com. I'm James Bean. You're hearing Spiritual Awakening, exploring the world of spirituality, comparative religion, and books. This week focused on India. After the break, I'm going to share with you some mystic poetry, musically accompanied, right here on HealthyLife.net.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time. With Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us.
There's a reason why ADT is America's leading home security company. Since 1874, they've helped protect over 5 million homes. Visit the HealthyLife.net advertiser page and click on the ADT banner. It's more affordable than you think.
Be vegan, make peace. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on our plate. If you want to please your taste buds while promoting love and harmony with the earth, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants all over the U.S. and around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain on the planet, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To see what's on the menu at the Loving Hut near you, go to this website, lovinghut.us. Once again, the web address is lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening here on HealthyLife.net. I'm James Bean. This week's program is focused on the spirituality and mystic literature of India. I want to share with you some mystic poems of Tulsi Sahib, Saint of Hathras, India, from a book called Tulsi Sahib, Saint of Hathras, accompanied musically by the sitar. Soul is attached to the word, revels ever in cosmic flight. Revels ever in cosmic flight. And realizing the Lord plays with him. The mystery of the inaccessible and the secret of the scriptures he unveils. He reaches his home within, and its essence he comes to know. In the lotus feet of the beloved, he sees his true destination. The happily married woman rejoices with her spouse every moment, O Tulsi, for her soul is attached to the word and revels ever in cosmic flight. Compositions of Paramsant Tulsi Sahib are bhakti, or devotional in tone, and at the same time allude to the mystical experiences of the soul achieving cosmic flight by becoming attached to the word, the celestial music of the spheres during meditation. Through the divine word, the mystery of the inaccessible plane, called by mystics Agam Lok, is made accessible. Sri Tulsi described his experience of the beloved Lord as a marriage consummated in mystical union. This merger of lover and beloved is the final destination of lovers. Dadu, a master in the Kabir lineage, said of this oneness, "The lover is converted into the beloved. That indeed is called true love. Forgetting his own ego, he remains absorbed in the One." In their hymns, The mystics and masters of bhakti sing of the power that the spirit of love has to transport souls back to the original home of all souls, the ocean of love and compassion. By approaching spiritual practice or meditation with love, we will be elevated in spirit to places beyond our wildest dreams. And for those who are skeptical of their own ability to experience the way of the saints, Swamiji Maharaj, the saint of Agra, said in one of his hymns, "It does not matter if your bhakti is imperfect. It does not matter if your bhakti is imperfect." Perform bhakti. Radha Swami, the Lord of the soul, graciously declares that you should perform bhakti in whichever way you can. Fear not. He will grant you the treasure of love. You will be a recipient of the gift of love. This is a poem by the 16th century mystic Dadu Dayal, meaning Dadu the Compassionate One, who outlined his vision of the spiritual life to be pursued during our time here on planet Earth. Says Dadu, "Recognize the path to your beloved, O travelers, and take the route of the anguished lover in separation. Keep the Master's grace in your thoughts, and reflect on his pure teachings. Develop love and devotion with endearment, and keep the thought of the Creator always before you. Merge yourself in God like water in water. Fix your mind within by following the path of the sound current. The yearning will arise. Make then an intense and anguished call. Repeat the name of your beloved, day and night, again and again. Repeat the name of your beloved, day and night, again and again. Repeat the name of your beloved, day and night, again and again. With care in thought, word, and deed, you will cross to the other shore. Mystic verses from Dadu Dayal, Dadu the Compassionate One. After the break, more musically accompanied mystic poetry from India. Here on Spiritual Awakening on HealthyLife.net, I'm James Bean. Stay tuned.
Love. Loving Hut is the fastest growing chain of animal-free gourmet vegan restaurants all over the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a healthy, sustainable, planet-friendly, plant-based diet. All mouth-watering items on the menu are 100% vegan. In the Atlanta area, visit Loving Hut at 6385 Spalding Drive, Norcross, Georgia. To see what's on the menu, get driving directions or other information, go to lovinghut.us/Georgia. lovinghut.us/Georgia. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/lovinghutGA. That's facebook.com/lovinghutGA.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
Welcome back to Spiritual Awakening here on HealthyLife.net. I'm James Bean. This week's program is focused on the spirituality and sacred texts of India, especially poet mystics. If you'd like to receive my free book list, a list of recommended poet mystics of India, as well as links to Poet Mystics Online, the poetry of Kabir, Mirabai, Dadu, Tulsi Sahib, Swamiji Maharaj, and countless others, email me at this address, james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. I want to share with you some mystic poetry of Dadu Dayal, the 16th century master, Dadu the Compassionate One. The nectar of love brings eternal life to those who are prepared to die in meditation. One who faces the agony of love enjoys blissful union with the beloved. In fact, the very roles of lover and beloved are reversed in the process of the love game, and God himself becomes the lover of his devotee. With God as the ever-accompanying protector, the devotee fears no one, and he becomes master of all spiritual wisdom and bliss. Just as the tiny spark of divine love is enough to burn up all obstacles, and with the veil completely consumed by the fire of love, the lover sees God face to face. Says Dadu, "I am thirsty for love, O Lord, give me a drink. Filling the cup, give it to me in person, and bring the dead to life." The one who is intoxicated with love and devotion, whose body is writhing in pain, whose mind is always in agony, God dwells with him. First comes the pang of separation, then the kindling of endearment. Thereafter, the mind is absorbed and merged in love. Then there is hope for union. This mind becomes motionless in the wave of love arising from the pang of separation. It is dissolved in God's name. Rarely does anyone understand, says Dadu. The lover is converted into the beloved. That indeed is called true love. Of that beloved, God himself becomes the lover. God has become the anguished lover, and the anguished lover has become God. Such a deed the torturous pang of separation performed. When the true Lord stands over thy head for protection, no hot wind can affect thee. Thou livest under the shade of the lotus feet. A great grace has been bestowed upon thee. One sits fearlessly by repeating God's name. The negative power can never consume him. When thou ridest the elephant, O Dadu, then dogs bark in vain. When love and devotion arise, one is firmly established in blissful meditation. With the grace of the Satguru, he then drinks the divine nectar. By being dedicated to the Supreme Lord of Love, millions of obstacles are removed. The tiny spark the size of a mustard seed burns a huge amount of wood. Whenever love of God appears, says Dadu, then all coverings of body, mind, and heart which separate the soul are burnt up. Impurities and blemishes of the mind are burnt up in the fire of separation. The separated lover will now see the vision of the beloved. This quote from the 16th century Indian master and poet mystic, Dadu the Compassionate One, outlines his vision of the spiritual journey to be pursued during our time here on planet Earth. It's a kind of creed. I'm very fond of reading this particular paragraph, as it does sum up rather nicely Dadu's vision. Recognize the path to your beloved, O travelers, and take the route of the anguished lover in separation. Keep the Master's grace in your thoughts and reflect upon his pure teachings. Develop love and devotion with endearment, and keep the thought of the Creator always before you. Merge yourself into God like water and water. Fix your mind within by following the path of the sound current. A yearning will arise. Make then an intense and anguished call. Repeat the name of your beloved day and night, again and again. With care in thought, word, and deed, you will cross to the other shore, says Dadu. Mystic poetry of Dadu Dayal, which means Dadu the Compassionate One, the 16th century mystic from India. One of my favorite, one of several favorites when it comes to Indian mystic poetry. My name is James Bean. The program is Spiritual Awakening. My email address is james@spiritualawakeningradio.com. More after the break, right here on healthylife.net.
Save the planet and please your taste buds at the same time with Vegetarian House. You can't find a wider array of delicious international cuisine at an affordable price than the Vegetarian House restaurant in San Jose, California. Its wide array of organic vegan food even includes raw dishes, egg-free desserts, and non-alcoholic cocktails. As more and more people around the world adopt a plant-based diet, Vegetarian House shows how compassionate food choices can be a delicious way to promote peace and a sustainable planet. For more information, go to www.vegetarianhouse.us. Once again, the web address is www.vegetarianhouse.us. Be good to the planet and please your palate at the same time. Peace begins on your plate. If you want to please your palate while still promoting love and harmony with the planet, look for the opening of a Loving Hut restaurant near you. Loving Hut is a new chain of animal-free gourmet restaurants around the world. Loving Hut provides a practical starting point for those wishing to make the noble transition to a plant-based diet. Currently the fastest-growing vegan fast food chain in the world, Loving Hut opened its first branch in Milpitas, California, in July of 2008. To learn more, go to www.lovinghut.us. Once again, the address is www.lovinghut.us.
When you need a positive point of view, turn to HealthyLife.net, your 24/7 radio network for a better future.
Spiritual Awakening Radio is heard every Tuesday at 3 p.m. Eastern, which is noon Pacific Time. Also on Sundays at noon Eastern, which is 9 a.m. Pacific Time. At HealthyLife.net, click on the Archive tab, scroll down, and you'll discover that there are many editions of Spiritual Awakening Radio there that you can click on and listen to anytime on demand. There are also podcasts of the program available through HealthyLife.net. Visit my website, SpiritualAwakeningRadio.com. From there, you can send me an email if you like. And at Facebook, the address is facebook.com/SpiritualAwakeningRadio, where you'll find links to recently archived programs, spiritual quotes, and news about upcoming shows. For Spiritual Awakening, I'm James Bean.
It's time for science and technology news here on The News at 7. I'm James Bean. Avoiding the great filter, extraterrestrial life and humanity's future in the universe. NASA scientists have explained in a new paper why they believe it's likely we haven't ever encountered intelligent extraterrestrial life. And it's a bit scary. Or all, rather, intelligent life, they argue, has likely destroyed itself before reaching a sophisticated enough point in its evolution to support such an encounter. And the same fate likely awaits humans unless we take action, they believe. The great filter, as in filtering out various forms of life, argues that other civilizations, possibly several, have existed during the life of the universe, but they destroyed themselves before they could make contact with Earth, noted the paper titled Avoiding the Great Filter, Extraterrestrial Life and Humanity's Future in the Universe. The scientists fear that all intelligent life, such as humans, have deeply ingrained dysfunctions that may snowball quickly into the Great Filter. But they still have a bit of hope for humans, provided we can learn and take steps to avoid our own extinction, noted the paper by a team of researchers based at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in Southern California. The key to humanity successfully traversing such a universal filter is identifying destructive attributes in ourselves and neutralizing them in advance, astrophysicist Jonathan Jung and his co-authors wrote in a paper that appeared online recently. The paper has not yet been peer-reviewed. Whatever seems likely to wipe out humans would conceivably also threaten intelligent life on other planets, the authors argue. The likely culprits, which could be impacted by humans or other intelligent life forms, include nuclear war, pandemic, climate change, and uncontrolled artificial intelligence, the authors wrote. The trick, the biggest challenge of all, will be to work together to survive, the researchers have said. Working together. Scientists are drawing up plans to intercept an interstellar object, very much like Oumuamua. We finally have the technological means to detect interstellar objects. We have detected two in the last few years, Oumuamua and the comet Borisov. And there are undoubtedly more out there. As such, there's been a lot of interest in developing a mission that could visit once we detected it. But what would such a mission look like? Now, a draft paper from a team of primarily American scientists has taken a stab at answering that question and moved us one step closer to launching such a mission. Part of what makes an interstellar visitor mission interesting is that interstellar visitors are so weird. Borisov acted like a typical comet once it entered the solar system, but Oumuamua was a different beast entirely. It never developed a cometary tail, as many scientists expected it to. It also exhibited acceleration that didn't seem to be accounted for by radiative or other means, leading a few prominent scientists to claim it might have possibly been an alien probe. The best way to combat such fanciful claims is to closely examine them. And to do that, we have to have data. We have to have a mission that can go observe one of these objects up close. But first, we would have to see it. And astronomers are already working on that. The Vera Rubin Observatory will be able to detect somewhere between 1 to 10 interstellar objects about the same size as Oumuamua every year, according to the author's calculations, once this observatory goes online. That's plenty of opportunity to find the right candidate. Once detected, getting to the interstellar object is the next task. Some will unfortunately just be out of reach from an orbital mechanics standpoint. But the authors calculate that there is an 85% chance that an interstellar interceptor stored and standing by at the Earth-Sun L2 Lagrange point, just parked there waiting, will be able to find a suitable object of interest that is the size of Oumuamua within 10 years. Just park there and wait for a sighting and then go to the object is the plan. So in essence, once we're able to detect interstellar objects, it's just a matter of patiently waiting for the right opportunity to come along. Once the interstellar interceptor reaches the interstellar object, it can then begin close quarters observation, including a full spectroscopic map of both natural and artificial materials, which might help settle the debate about whether such objects are alien-made probes. It could also monitor for any outgassing that could explain the mysterious forces acting on Oumuamua. There are undoubtedly plenty more exciting things that scientists would like to understand about the first interstellar object we visit. But from the calculations in this paper, there will be plenty of opportunities to do so, and plenty of data to collect when we do. Time to get on to the planning stages then. So the idea is to wait for one of these objects to come along and then fly up to it and observe. These are interstellar objects. In other words, these are objects, comets, asteroids, or whatever the case may be, coming to us from other solar systems. So that's pretty exciting to get a look at a piece of material originating from many light years away. That will be an amazing opportunity to learn more about what's going on in the universe. For Science and Technology News, I'm James Bean.